Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Would you open your Bibles with me, please, to Psalms 128. Psalm 128. I'm the oldest son of Benny Earl and Mary Biddy. I lacked one day being born on their first anniversary. And I believe whenever I came into this world that I started being my daddy's boy. There wasn't anything that I didn't think my daddy could do. There wasn't anybody or anything that I thought my dad was afraid of. I've never had a single individual to impact my life more than my dad. I was scared of him. I was scared for him to find out that I had messed up. I was scared to be disrespectful to him, and I loved him with all my heart. Daddy was not a perfect man by any means. Daddy was a deacon in the church that I grew up in. But Daddy was not a perfect man. But Daddy loved God. And Daddy was always not coming back to God. Dad just never left God. Dad was a shift worker. Back in the days, whenever it wasn't 12-hour shifts, it was 8-hour shifts for some of you who remember that. They were called days, swing, and graveyards were the names. So it's what you called the three shifts. And it didn't matter what shift Daddy was working. He was in the house of the Lord on Sunday, either morning or evening. And if he was off, he was there both. And on Wednesday nights, he was there. He just had a tremendous impact on my life. He taught me not to be afraid. He taught me not to be afraid to tackle anything that needed to be done. He taught me that it was no embarrassment if you didn't know how to do something to ask someone that did know how. Many times I would travel with Daddy over to someone's house. Usually it was an older person. And Daddy would tell him what he wanted to do, and they would tell him how to do it. Men, one of the greatest needs in the world, and especially in America, is for men to be godly men and godly fathers, and it would be amazing how we would change this country if we started today. I just don't watch much TV. People say, well, you know, this on this channel and this on that channel. I say, I have an antenna. You don't have cable? You don't have a satellite? Nope. You realize how good a bow and arrow I can buy for what y'all put? You realize what kind of trips you can take if you don't have that stuff in your house? And for all you who say, well, I take it for the History Channel, let me just say something to you. I don't have fool written right across my forehead, okay? You might like the History Channel or Animal Planet, but that's not the reason you have it, so don't yank my chain on that, okay? And some of you are in debt up your eyeballs, and you still are having all these little luxuries that you don't have to have. I got off. But hey, dads, if you had it to live all over again, what would you do differently? Well, you don't have it all over to live again, but you do have the rest of your life to do what you can do in whatever time God has allotted to you. It's not always how you start the race. It's how you finish the race. The race in my life I remember the most is the one I came in second. But I was determined I was just going to pour it on. I didn't get a great start in that what was called the 440 then, 440 yards, called the 400 meters now. And I didn't like running it, but my coach said, you're going to run. You look like a 440 man, Danny. I didn't like it. But anyway, that's what the coach said to do. Men, you may not can come in first now, but you don't have to finish last. In Psalm 128, the Bible says, blessed, now stop right there. The word blessed is built upon the word in the previous psalm that psalm ends with that talks about happy. In verse 5 of 127, it says, happy is the man. And so the word that is translated happy in the last verse of 127 and the word that is translated blessed in 128 are the same word in Hebrew. So happy or blessed, men, you want to be blessed? You want to have a blessing that makes you happy? Or you want? Or you just want to say, no, Danny, I'd rather be miserable. Blessed is everyone, not someone. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Hey, fathers. Hey, dads. How's your walk of faith? How is your walk? Verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Do you walk according to the ways of God's Word? You do not walk the ways of God's Word, and neither do I, unless I know God's Word. So are we studying God's Word? It's amazing what happens If you know Christ as your Savior and you begin to read this book and the Holy Spirit begins to speak and move on your heart, it is amazing the things that will leap from the pages of God's Word. You follow the Father around, you'll be amazed at what you'll learn. I will never forget. Just a small boy. Daddy said, "Danny, you want to go with me?" I said, "Where are you going?" I didn't get an answer. The next thing I heard was the truck cranking and Daddy leaving without me. Whenever he got back, I said, "Daddy, why did you leave me?" He said, "Son, I asked if you wanted to go with me, not did you want to go where I was going." In other words, did I want to be with my father, or did I just want to go where he was going? Let me ask you children something in here this morning. If your dad says, "You want to go with me," do you want to be with him, or do you just want to go where he's going? Let me ask you something, dads. Are we the kind of men that whenever we ask our children, "Do you want to go with us?" they want to just be with us, regardless of where we were going? I want to tell you something. That happened one time. And from then on, if Daddy said, "You want to go with me?" I was over there opening the door to the truck to get in. Wherever it was that we were going, I want to tell you something. We went and did some neat, exciting things. And you will find that if you will walk by faith, just trusting that God knows where he's going, Testing, 1, 2, okay. There is a direct link between holiness and happiness. And men, if you want the great joy that only God can give, that the world can't begin to compete with, follow the path of holiness. I want to share something with you guys. If we try to buy our children's love, "Son, if you'll do this, I will buy you this." If you'll behave, and especially when it comes to character. Now, I'm not against rewards. Don't misunderstand me. But I want to share something with you. Right and doing right has its own reward that money can't buy. But men, if you're always trying to buy character from your children, I want to share with you that Satan will always offer them a bigger prize than what you can come up with. But if you will teach them about holiness and will model that before them. And when we've messed up, guys, we need to fess up about it. You and I will be amazed at what might happen. You say, "Brother Danny, I wasn't like you. I didn't grow up in a godly home." Brother Danny, I grew up in a home that was abusive. I grew up in a home where there was no dad present. I grew up in a home where I didn't have the male role model that you were fortunate enough to have. And I'd just like to share with you, you have a heavenly Father who loves you so much. You have a heavenly Father that has not lost track of you. You may not be able to change where you've been, or where you came from, or what you came from, but you can change where you're going. My oldest son loves to fish. And when he was just a little fella, I don't remember, 5 years old, Jeff, maybe, we took off on a fishing trip following Peyton Shelton. Now, for those of you who were not blessed to know Peyton Shelton, you can also count your blessings. Oh, Peyton, oh, he could fish. He could catch fish when no one was catching fish. And so we weren't going to stay the whole time that he was going to be out there. And so he and a young relative, he took a boy fishing. And he took his boat, we took ours, and we followed him. And we left over here at the boat ramp in Baytown. And we went all the way to East Bay, if some of you know where that is. I mean, we went, it felt like for days. He had a big, huge boat, and we had a 14-foot aluminum boat and a 25 horse on it. But we were staying with him. We got over there, way on the other side of the planet. And matter of fact, I got the nickname from Chuck Harmon after that, Magellan. And so we got over there, and we didn't catch a thing, and we were burning up, and we fished all morning, and Peyton was going to stay and fish some more and keep trying to find the fish. And so we told him we were headed home. He said, "You know how to get home?" I said, "Oh, man, yeah." I said, "Man, I was raised in the country. I said, I got a built-in compass in here." So we took off. And we kept going and going and going. And I didn't have a clue where we were. I'm telling you, we got out there on that big water. Finally, Jeff and I pulled a boat up next to a shrimp boat, a huge shrimp boat out there, and just stopped them. I said, "Can y'all tell me how to get back to Baytown?" And he said, "Yes, sir." And he pointed off to the horizon. He said, "You see that point on the horizon over there?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You just keep your eyes fixed on it and you head straight toward it." And I did, and here we are. Men, have you lost your way? Maybe it's time for you to pull over to the captain of the seas of life and say, "I need a course correction. I need to get back walking the walk of faith." Bible also says here, "Whenever you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you." Men, I want to talk with you for a moment about work and the fruits of your labor. As a matter of fact, where it just says in my translation, "the labor of your hands," it talks about the fruits of your labor is another way to translate that. The fruits of your labor. Men, how many days did it take God to make the earth, make the world? Six. Right, is that what you? I forgot my hearing aids today. A little louder, please. How many? And on the seventh day, he rested. If you will work more than you play, you will be happier at the end of every day. And if you'll work, you know, you think, "Okay, well, I've worked a day, I need to play a day." No, 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 no. That's not God's equation. If you really want to enjoy your time of play, you work six times as much as you play, and you will really enjoy it whenever you play. And everyone else will enjoy it too. My dad was a hard-working man, and he believed in us working hard. But I want to tell you something. When we played, we played, and we played hard. We really enjoyed playing. Men, the Bible teaches us here that we are to work, and we are to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And I know that people get into bad circumstances. I know all of us have made some bad choices that cost us and cause us some misery at times. But I want to share with you, the Bible teaches us that if you're physically able, you're supposed to work. And the Bible says here, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. And I've seen many a man who has made their fortune, ruined their children by not teaching their children how to work and just give everything to their children. And I know people who have children living in their home when they ought to be out on their own. You need to pay your own way. You need to live within your means. You know why some people are in such a mess in their lives? It's because they are trying to live on 110% or 115% of their income. How do you do that? Credit. Some of you are up to your eyeballs in debt, and you don't know what to do. Get out of debt. Oh, that's easier said than done. No, it is possible. And if you don't know how to do it, seek some advice. But the Bible teaches us here to live within your means, and oh, what greater peace you have. Bible also teaches us here that you may not have the greatest job on the earth, but the Bible also teaches us that we are to be great examples, and we are to, whatever your hand finds to do, do so with all your might. And to work hard at what you're doing. You may not really like what you're doing and would like to do something else. But you be sure that you aren't someone that makes everyone else in the boat feel like you're dragging anchor trying to sail on. You'd be one of the best hands that you can possibly be, and you will be a great Christian testimony. By the way, you want to have more money? Learn how to do something. Just learn how to do something. Learn how to fix some of your own stuff. There's hardly anything you can't fix. If you can get on the internet and look it up on YouTube. Now, some people's opinions on how to fix things, I don't know how in the world they work, but the Bible says here that when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. It's very frustrating to me at times whenever people come to the office and they want a handout and they don't want to try to work things out. And there have been situations that have happened and taken place where it has so upset me. And I feel responsible for the offerings that come in to the Lord's house. And there was a family that came. I'm not going to tell you that story. I'm not going to tell you that story. It was a very frustrating situation. It was an abusive situation. And just basically, I told that man, I said, don't send your wife in here and use your children as leverage for you to keep being lazy. Go to work. I will tell you this. She told me, I said, Brother Danny, I have to do what I'm told. And I saw fear in her eyes. And so he was sitting out in the truck, and I got him to come in. I said, and one of the things I told him was, you get a job, and we'll help you. You quit being lazy. I said, but I want to tell you something else. I said, the next time I see that lady that you're married to, she better have a smile on her face. She better not have fear in her eyes. And you better not have threatened her. I said, if she has a mark on her, I'll make sure you get arrested and get so put so far back in jail, they'll have to feed you with a slingshot. Men, there is no way that God's ever going to bless us not being responsible for our own and for not working. And there is no way that God is going to bless us not taking care of our own. Because the Bible talks here in this next verse about your wife being like a fruitful vine. And so we've talked about the walk of faith and our work or our fruits of labor. Let's talk about our wife and children of our family. By the way, something that just is so hard to deal with is whenever I see a man being kind and generous to everyone else and ignoring his own home. And I see that. And the Bible teaches us that there's supposed to be something really special about a husband and a wife. The Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Leave, cleave, and weave. I want to share with you that I think one of the greatest needs in this country to keep people from wanting to come up with their own way of defining family is to be a biblical family and to portray that which everyone else would love to have. And I believe that we would eliminate a lot of these alternative lifestyles if the lifestyle that God's Word says that we should live is the example that everyone would love to have. And it shouldn't ever be found anywhere unless it's at least found in Christian homes. Now, you can take shots at all. We can take shots at all these other alternative lifestyles, but those probably have come up because so many Christian homes have failed at being a Christian home. And if we set the proper example, just think about it. What are some of the things that you want in life? Things that other people have worked for and you desire to have them. And if your home is the kind of home that other people want, then the devil is not going to be able to tempt them away into other things that do not square with God's Word. You know what? You and I need to be the best Bible that anyone can read. Men, we have responsibility to our wife and children. The Bible teaches us here that the wife will be like a fruitful vine growing up in the heart of your house. What does it mean by that? Men, husbands and wives, there needs to be a connection between you that's just inseparable. So that whenever you think of the man of the house, you immediately think of the woman of the house. When you think of this lady, this wife, you also think of her husband. And you think of people in this room right now. You can't hardly say one of them's name without saying the other. And that is what this passage means. And then it talks about the children being like olive trees. And the olive trees were planted in such a way that they came up at different seasons. And so as children come into a home, they continue on bearing the fruit that has been planted from the head of the table. And guys, we have responsibility there to take care of them. another story on Jeff.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.